It is the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. I'm coming to you live from Atlanta, Georgia. Thank you to everybody tuned in and locked in all over North America. I'll be hanging out with you for one more hour. This show gets started every weekday at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 Pacific. That means I've been hanging out for 3 hours. Look how good I can do math. I'm in Atlanta, Georgia. Thank you to super producer and host Ryan Hickey. He is in New York City. And we've had a day. We've had an afternoon. We've had an evening. We have a night. The latest college football playoff rankings have been released. The New York Jets release their general manager. Right now in Boston, Massachusetts, the Celtics are leading the Cleveland Cavaliers. The undefeated 15-0 Cleveland Cavaliers, 104-100. We'll keep you up to date on that game as it goes into crunch time, about 5 minutes left. We've got people coming up with crazy ideas surrounding the college football playoff rankings and what teams should do, what they shouldn't do. And Jerry Jones has an explanation for his roof falling apart. Man, it's just, there's so much to get into. If you want to call up, you can. 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4227. You can find me online at JR Sport Brief. Thank you to everybody listening on the free Odyssey app, your local Infinity Sports Network affiliate, the SiriusXM channel 158. And if you got a smart speaker, ask the speaker to play the Infinity Sports Network. What a day, what a day, what an evening. College football playoff rankings came out. Not too many big changes at the top. Oregon, Ohio State, Texas, Penn State, Indiana still in the five. Notre Dame is six. Alabama moves up to seven, displacing Tennessee, which just lost to Georgia. Miami at eight. Mississippi with that victory over Georgia. Mississippi is now nine. Georgia is now 10. Tennessee following the loss to Georgia is 11. And Boise State is 12. Being a conference champ would automatically give them a bye in that top four. So, yeah, they're ranked 12, but they would get a bye based on the current rankings. LSU has fallen all the way out of the damn playoff as it stands right now. Illinois, UNLV, they are all in. Iowa State is in. Arizona State is in. Tulane jumps from 25 to 20. And then we got a big matchup. We just talked about this prior to the break, and one of the more ridiculous things I've ever heard in my life. Joey Galloway was on ESPN. Indiana, undefeated Indiana at 10-0. They are the only undefeated team here in these rankings outside of Oregon, who sits at number one at 11-0. And then you take a look at Army, who is 9-0. Indiana, who the hell have they beat that makes you go, amazing? Nobody. The answer is nobody. They have Ohio State this weekend. And Joey Galloway on ESPN actually said that maybe Indiana should sit its starting quarterback to avoid, I don't know, an injury or embarrassment in hopes of improving their stakes. So you want to lose on purpose and have an excuse as to why you... I don't get it. Listen to this man not make sense.
If we believe in what our metrics are saying, mm-hmm. If I'm Indiana, I don't know if I'm playing Rourke against Ohio State. We've seen what happened to Florida State last year, Jordan Travis. What could keep Indiana out of this? Getting their quarterback hurt. We've seen it happen to Florida State last year. Having not played anybody.
Or losing by 30.
If you look at 3, 4, and 5, Texas, Penn State, and Indiana, they literally have played nobody between all three teams. The toughest team in that is Vandy. So a lot of this that we're looking at is eye test. Because, Boog, when you look at the resumes of 3, 4, and 5, it brings back the idea of let me not play anybody and be undefeated.
Yeah.
And be in a good position.
I agree with that.
Because the eye test is going to matter. Because 3, 4, 5 have played nobody. And that includes Indiana.
Yeah, loser logic. That's what that is. That doesn't make any sense. None. Zip. Zero. Zilch. That's not even the craziest thing that we heard today. The Dallas Cowboys. Well, Jerry Jones spoke last night. Didn't make sense. After losing to the Texans. The New York Jets. They fire their general manager, Joe Douglas. That doesn't make much sense. Yeah, this is more amusing. Listen to Jerry Jones explain to you why last night, before the Texans ran them out of their own building, Jerry Jones explained why sheet metal was falling from the sky and almost hit a guy.
Apparently, did a little damage, and then when we tried to open it up, the winds got underneath the roof at that time, and so everybody agreed that it did some damage. But if you check around Dallas, had wind gusts all afternoon. Certainly, there was no risk at all to anybody on the field playing once we shut the roof. And again, we had a lot of wind gusts in this area this afternoon. And apparently that created some looseness up there. And then when the wind, when we did try to open it up, the wind got in there and exacerbated the looseness.
Hickey, that sounds like some kid in middle school asked by his science teacher, hey, come stand up in the class and give this presentation. And that student stands up there and doesn't know what the hell they're talking about.
Just talking out of there, you know what, trying to make sense.
Yeah, so why? Tell us about the wind tunnel you created. Why does the wind tunnel form a funnel? And I don't know. Just what happens is air goes in. It creates some looseness. You think Jerry Jones was good in science?
No. No.
He didn't know about the oil. He knew about the oil. Right? He knew about the oil.
He knew where to drill. And you know what? That's probably the most important thing he needed to know. He made a lot of money off that.
Yeah, where to drill? What a man. Now, if he only knew how to, keep the stadium functioning. Why? And excuse me, Hickey. Why is this not a bigger deal? Maybe it is, but why isn't there, why is there not an investigation? Why isn't there some local councilman or the city going, hey, this thing costs, what, $1.5 billion, $2 billion? Why did this fall? Where did it fall from? Are you shocked this is not a bigger deal? Did it have to knock somebody clear the hell out?
I guess, like, what's the deal to make exactly, right? The metal fell. Should it have been loose? I don't know. I mean, they never opened the roof anyway. I'm shocked they're even opening it yesterday. I think the bigger question is, at least for me, why are you opening the roof on a windy day?
Here we go. Arlington city officials inspect, because I don't know, but I have to figure there is some type of, government funding that, did Jerry just dig into his pocket 10 years ago and go, here, build a stadium? Like, there has to be some type of outside, what's the word? Not culpability, but involvement in the stadium. Arlington city officials inspect AT&T Stadium, reveal what caused the sheet metal incident. The metal piece that fell to the field was covering a lid to a cable tray that was moved by wind gusts as the roof was opening, the city said in a statement. The cable tray was in the high steel area near the top of the stadium. Wow. Yeah, so a building inspector, deputy fire, see all the government people, yeah. They deemed the stadium safe. The metal piece was covering a lid. And so it seems that somebody was doing something that they didn't have no business. There are no structural issues with the venue or its retractable roof. So some dummy left something untethered. Okay, whatever. See, Hickey, there was some government thing. No big deal, but this is... Things don't just fly off of roofs and people just go, okay, on to the next one.
You are right, but, I mean, maybe I'm wrong. I feel like most teams with retractable roofs only open them when the weather's perfect. And I think the bigger question is, when it's so windy, why are you opening the roof in the first place?
Dallas Cowboys, right? I don't know. I think that's the explanation. We got a retractable roof here at Mercedes-Benz. Hickey, I've never seen that thing open, man.
Never open it. Open it up.
The weather is beautiful here. I don't know. I guess it costs money to open it. I don't know.
Then don't build a retractable roof. If you're not going to open it, build a solid roof, and there you go. No worries.
Man, the weather is beautiful here almost all year round. And even if it's cold outside, it's not that damn cold. You can keep the roof open. Like, come on.
Or do what the Rams did. Build a roof.
Open air.
That's just open. That, you could have a thunderstorm and still have a delay. why the hell not?
Is the lightning going to go through the side? Am I missing something?
I mean, translucent roof, I guess. Maybe it's not. I don't know. Whatever they were saying, that somehow the lightning's going to bend around, go through the opening, and maybe land on the 50-yard line. Maybe that's what they're concerned about.
Oh, boy. Whatever. SoFi Stadium, all this fancy money to build this thing, and it just ridiculousness all the way around. Like the New York Jets getting rid of their general manager today. This man has been GM since 2019. The past 2 years, he basically hasn't been the GM. It's been Aaron Rodgers, but he had to pay the price for not drafting all four, drafting Zach Wilson, and then having to basically say, okay, yeah, we have no choice. We have to get Aaron Rodgers. Listen to Tom Pelissero tell you about it on the NFL Network.
No surprise that the Jets are moving on from their general manager, Joe Douglas, at this stage. He was in the final year of his contract in a season that has been of the utmost disappointment for the New York Jets. The Jets are not a team where the cupboard is bare in terms of talent. They have some bright young players. Joe Douglas had good drafts. But at this stage, it became pretty apparent that owner Woody Johnson, who, again, had made the move early in the season in surprise fashion to fire Robert Saleh as the team got ready to play a game for first place in the AFC East, would now move on from Joe Douglas as well. They are going to be rebooting everything in New York.
Rebooting Aaron Rodgers. It's just a matter of whether or not Aaron Rodgers quits before they decide to go ahead and cut the guy. That's the reality there. Pretty sad. Pretty pathetic. Well, this is what we knew would happen. The Jets were either going to compete for a championship or they were going to go to hell. They just went to hell faster than anybody would have thought. Last year, the man blows out his Achilles. They go straight to hell. And this year, well, they are in hell and the man is playing football. And they fired the head coach. And then they fired the GM. And before that or after the coach, they fired the offensive coordinator. And now they're firing everybody except for the man who owns the team. That's Woody Johnson. The Johnson & Johnson Band-Aid man. Who doesn't even run that organization. He's just a rich guy as a result. Hickey, I should have came up with Band-Aids 300 years ago. I'd be a billionaire too.
It's the simplest inventions that make you the most rich.
A tourniquet and, hey, how about this? You could start off with a tourniquet and now you could sell shots. How about that?
How about this? You could think of an app where you literally take a picture, it disappears in 10 seconds, call it Snapchat, and you could be a billionaire.
Oh, wow. How about that?
Invent an app where somebody picks you up in a car, takes you to where you want to go, and you don't have to drive.
Well, until the robots do that, right?
That's right. Maybe that could be you.
What can be me?
Invent the app or the robots, you know, the robots drive.
No, thanks.
No?
That exists already. No, huh? You saw Kim Kardashian hanging out with her Tesla robot?
I did not. She's got one?
Oh, she's playing rock, paper, scissors with her robot.
Oh.
I spoke with someone today about the cost of the robot. I don't know if this is accurate. I was told the robot costs between $20,000 and $30,000. That's it.
Wow.
I thought it'd be more money than that.
It's still a lot of money for what?
Bro, it's a car. That's the cost of a entry-level car. I mean, if people can get cars, it's a lot of money to have this thing in your house, but it's not, like, out of the range, right? It's the cost of a car. You don't think you'll be able to finance a robot?
Oh, you're no APR down?
If you don't pay, if you don't make your payment.
We're going to seize your robot.
No, ain't nobody going to see it. The robot will walk out the door. You know, forget the repo man. The robot will leave.
And now you can put the repo guys out of business?
The robot. Listen, man, a robot will repossess. It'll walk out the door and take your car.
Now you're really putting those guys out of business. Jeez, like, nothing for them to do.
Like, I'll take the car. The robot don't even need the key. Oh, my goodness. Either that or he jack you up in your sleep when you're going to make them payments. Damn.
Tell all your secrets, too.
Yeah, what a rough world.
You know they're always listening, I'm sure.
Well, you know the robot's listening. He's standing in the corner charging up. He's not charging up. He's listening. It's like Otani. He's a robot, too. Hickey, I did see him in a sling when he had his arm surgery. So he's a human.
Oh, interesting. So he cut open and he has blood.
Yeah, I think. Well, he's had a couple of surgeries, right? So
that he has.
Yeah. Two Tommy Johns, a dislocated shoulder.
Where did you see him, by the way?
It was a photo of him leaving a doctor's office.
Oh, so someone got him.
And somebody got him, yeah.
Wow.
His sweatpants, baseball cap, sling.
That's crazy. I'm going to see if I can find that just to see what he looks like in a non-Dodger uniform.
Yeah, I know,
I've
right?
seen a picture.
It's tough. He doesn't go outside. The man does not go outside. He's been rehabbing in like an underwater chamber, I'm sure. He'll be there for 5 months until the next baseball season. 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4227. Wayne is calling from New Mexico. You're on the JR Sport Brief Show.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. The robots should be cheaper pretty soon, just like when the VCRs and all that stuff came out and computers came out. How cheap do you think
a robot's going to be in 25 years?
I think about maybe a couple grand, $2,000-$3,000. I think I could totally see that.
It's going to be like the home desktop computer and a television set.
Exactly. Like, it's going to be expensive right off the bat, but as it becomes more and more mass produced and more people, there's a demand or there's a need for it, they're going to be a lot cheaper.
You know a lot about these robots. Which one you going to buy, a Sony robot or a Tesla robot?
I'll probably see when someone else gets a new OS and revamps the operating system on it, just like Microsoft did with IBM's. But that's my tech talk, and I don't want to get on a tangent with that. But I definitely want to talk about the Cowboys in regards to being a fan. It's sad to watch them play offense. It's pathetic, and obviously everything is falling apart, including the stadium now. And it's, as I was telling your producer, it's frustrating for him to be Jerry Jones talking more about the stadium than he is about the team and what his goals are as far as running the team. Like, I don't care what happened in the stadium. Nobody died. Nothing happened. It's whatever it is.
Well, somebody, bro, it's dangerous. There was a guy that the sheet metal almost, the guy barely got away. It is noteworthy. Come on.
Yeah, but close only counts in horseshoes and hand grenades, right? No one got hurt.
It's important, bruh. If that happened during the game and it fell on a Dallas Cowboys cheerleader, come on now. What are we talking about?
If.
No, it's not. What happened is dangerous. Okay? It's just a fact.
Agreed. But what's more important, the dangerousness that could have happened or what's the dangerous of how bad this team is playing on the field?
It's two separate. Two separate things. He's a dumbass. We know that, okay? He's a dumbass.
I'm not arguing that point. The only upside I'm seeing this to the Cowboys is I see a lot of good athletes coming out of the draft. I would love to see him get Alshon Jeffrey and Ewers. I know there's rumors about Shedeur Sanders and Deion Sanders coming. I definitely don't see that happening, but I could totally see them getting a good running back and even a quarterback for the future. That's only upside I'm seeing as a Cowboys fan, because I don't see them doing any.
Deion has doubled and tripled and quadrupled down on not moving. More recently, as of today and yesterday, saying that he is in no rush to move on. It looks like he has a new quarterback who's going to be coming in, who's recently decommitted. I don't know if he wants the trouble. I know after the loss last night, Des Bryant is saying that Deion should be the guy in Dallas, and Michael Irvin, and it's just everybody. It's a matter of fact, and thank you, Wayne, so much for calling from New Mexico. Let's take a listen to Michael Irvin, because he was chatting it up with Fox Sports. And Michael Irvin basically said, he's like, listen, man, if I'm Deion and I'm the Cowboys, I'm taking Shedeur and Deion, and I'm package dealing it. Listen to this.
News today. You do believe that if Shedeur went to the Cowboys, Deion would accept the job?
I believe 100%. And I can tell you, good sources have told me that. Great sources have told me that. That's all I can say like that without violating anything else.
Yeah, and I think that's the only way, right? Like, what other reason is Deion leaving, but does he want the trouble? That might be too big of a dream to coach his son for the Cowboys. Let's think about that in the grand scheme. Cowboys take his son. But why the hell would the Cowboys take his son? They got Dak Prescott. They got to pay this guy 60 per. So, I mean, we could be living in fantasy land. We got to come back to reality. Come on now, reality. The Cowboys are a mess. They got beat by the Texans. And the Texans did their job last night. Two-game losing streak. Turning things around. You know what? Let's take a listen. Because DeMeco Ryans, the head coach of the Houston Texans, he talked about how and why they were able to stomp out them Cowboys.
The run game starts with our offensive line. I asked them to challenge them to play fast, play aggressive. Thought they did a really nice job. And Joe, you know, when he's on, He's a force for us. Over 100 yards, 3 touchdowns. Just really like the way we just kept turning it in a run game, and proud of the guys for stepping up to the challenge.
Yeah, don't forget Joe Mixon's 44 reception yards, receiving yards either. Come on now. Man was moving. The man was rolling. Good stuff. 2-game losing streak. The Texans will be fine. They'll get into the postseason. Dallas Cowboys, they're going to sit down and watch just like everybody else. Sorry. It's the JR Sportbeat Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4227. We're going to take a break. When we come back, I'll get some more of your calls. I'll give you an update on what the hell is going on between these undefeated Cleveland Cavaliers and the Boston Celtics. That game is coming down to a close. And a team that thought that they were going to compete, they're one of the worst teams in the NBA. And their superstar former MVP player is getting called out by another star for being late. And I'll add, probably fat and lazy and uninspired. Take a guess who it is. I'll tell you on the other side. It's the JR Sportbeat Show, coast to coast, the Infinity Sports Network.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief.
It is the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. The Cleveland Cavaliers are undefeated no more. The Celtics just held on to beat them 120 to 117. The Cavaliers are now 15-1. The Boston Celtics are 12-3. Darius Garland not helping out tonight. 8 points. 3 of 21 shooting. Ouch. Hickey, how the hell you take 21 shots and miss 18 of them? Damn.
Especially with Donovan Mitchell on the team. I don't know.
Yeah, he had 35 points. Mitchell did. Evan Mobley, he had 22. Wow. Meanwhile, for the Celtics, I know people are always critical of what Tatum does and doesn't do in big spots. 33 points. Brown had 17. Old man Al Horford, who is also ancient, can still move around. He had 20 points. So, hey, look, the Celtics still king of the mountaintop. And Cavaliers had an opportunity to make a statement and almost did. But, hey, this is the best of the best. This is what's going to happen. Something that Joel Embiid knows nothing about. I'll explain what the hell is going on in Philadelphia in a moment. 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4227. Mike is calling from Birmingham. You're on the JR Sport Brief Show. Go ahead, Mike.
What's up, JR? How are you doing? Well,
thank you. I am. What's up?
Yeah, so you're spot on with the Joey Galloway comments. I totally agree with you. I have no idea where he was coming with that. But my question was, what you think about this is like, is Boise State moving up in the rankings this tonight? And I'm just, you know, I know they're a 9-1 team. Okay. They're only lost to Oregon. I believe that's the only ranked team they've played all year. And I'm trying to figure out how the 9-1 Boise State team moves up that far, with the bye week. And you got 5 SEC teams that are 8-2. And the committee thinks that neither of those 5 teams should be ranked higher than Boise State.
Well, it's strength of schedule. I mean, that's what it boils down to. And then you think about the actual college football playoff rankings when it's all said and done, the top 4 conference champions are going to go ahead and get that bye. And so that's why Boise State is currently sitting in one of those 4 spots. And we know that the SEC, it's one of the strongest conferences in the entire country.
All right. So what? So Boise State is looking for a loss. They're looking for a UNLV loss by the end of the year to keep them in their championship. Is that correct?
What, in regards to what, the Mountain West?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, outside of UNLV, what else? What other competition have there?
There's no competition.
Yeah,
so I'm just wondering how any of the 8-2 SEC teams are so far behind a Boise State when they've only played one ranked team.
You have to go ahead and take a look at the college football playoff. It pretty much states that you have the conference champions that they all get in advance. And so somebody is going to have to suffer in the SEC. They all can't advance and get a bye. That's just what it boils down to.
No, of course not. I think Tennessee is outside the window looking in as well. So But, you know, I don't know. It's kind of a little bit of fishy on the committee.
Nah,
you know what I'm saying?
I don't think it's fishy. It's just it's how the playoff is situated. I think that's one of the that's not so much about the I would say who they play or who they don't play. It's just the top four teams out of every conference, the top four conferences, they get a bye. That's just what it is. It sucks.
So you agree that it's pretty balanced.
I think it's dumb. I think you should just call it. No, I think you can call it straight on down the line. I understand you want to go ahead and reward the conference champs. I mean, I looked at it last week. If we looked at the rankings last week after Ole Miss knocked off Georgia, after they knocked off the Bulldogs, in what world would the Georgia Bulldogs be barely out of the playoff, but then go ahead and say, hey, Boise State goes ahead and gets in front of them? No, it doesn't make sense. I mean, if you want to take a look at it at another perspective and say, oh, this makes the conference games oh so much more important, you can. It's just it's tough when you're playing in one of the best conferences. And then I don't want to call Boise State a little engine that could. I don't think anybody wakes up and says that they're going to win the national championship. I mean, the closest thing they have to winning anything is Gentry going out there and just winning, you know, a Heisman. And that's not even a guarantee. So I'm less concerned about, you know, what the committee thinks and why this team is ranked there. They don't have too much say so in that. You know, whoever wins the conferences, hey, they end up as champs. They go ahead, they go in and get a bye. And we actually heard this. Hold on, we heard this from Ward Manuel early. I want you to hear this because he was asked if losers of the conference championship, you know, are they going to get punished? Are they looked upon as second rate? Are they getting bumped? Listen to what he had to say.
Well, we have a lot of value. You know, we're not going to speculate on what will happen, but we have a lot of value of the with the teams that make a championship game. That says a lot. Playing 12 games in a season, making your championship game is a really valuable data point. Number one, number two, we're going to evaluate the games and how teams play and the performance on the field. That's what the commissioners have asked us to do. They didn't ask us to stop right before the championship game. They asked us to rank the teams through the championship game. And I think you could see over the years how the committee has valued those championship games and who stays in and where they're ranked. But this year, we're not going to speculate. We're going to let the season play out. But I think teams who make that championship game, the committee looks at them and puts them in high esteem.
Hey, Mike, this is what you got to do. Wait for Boise State to get into the college football playoff. If they get a bye, wait for them to get a bye. And then wait for them to get blasted out of the playoff. Problem solved.
Right. And I also think that the next 2 weeks we'll know a lot more.
Yeah, we will. Well, I don't think we're going to have to wait that long. I think we'll get that answer, come playoff time at the end of December into January. Yeah. Hey, Mike, thank you for calling from Birmingham.
Thanks, man.
No problem. There ain't no easy solution to any of this. Hey, let the teams go out there and play, right? If you so damn good, then win the games. 855-212-4227. Trevor's calling from Green Bay. Go ahead, Trevor.
What up, JR? Hey, NFL team that's going to be in disarray at the end of the year, the New York Jets.
Going to be?
I think the smartest play for these guys is to draft Shedeur Sanders, hire Deion as their coach, and let Aaron Rodgers go everything Shedeur can for a year. Let him run it back for a year. And then, because Aaron Rodgers got a big ego, but nobody's got a bigger ego than Deion Sanders, so he ain't taking a back seat to Rodgers. But he's going to make sure that he's in line. Shedeur's going to get an opportunity to learn everything he can from Aaron and then watch Deion and Shedeur take that Jets team back to the promised land.
Okay. I think none of that is going to happen, but we can all be wishful, Trevor. That's certainly not taking place. Aaron Rodgers will be gone in a matter of months or weeks, depending on how soon he wants to quit. And how about the New York Jets need to get a GM before they do anything else? They don't need no more sideshows. They just they need somebody to go out there to bust ass. The New York Jets need to bring in a GM, and they need to get a coach that's respected, respectable. But who wants to work for Woody Johnson? I mean, think who wants to go down the line of crap that they've had since they actually went to the postseason, which was last in 2011. I think the answer is nobody. Who wants to deal with this? New York Jets are just going through everybody, every possible permutation. 855-212-4227. We're going to take a break. When we come back on the other side, of course, I'm going to walk you through a few things that took place this day in sports history. Speaking of disasters, I want to tell you about the disasters going on in Philadelphia. He is 7'1", 7'2". He's fat, lazy, can't show up to work on time. Anyway.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief.
I know the song. The song is Lap Dance. Yeah, Pharrell and Chad Hugo, the Neptunes. Me, I'm JR. It is the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. Amongst all the crazy things that have taken place today, Jets fire their GM, Joe Douglas, Indiana getting crazy suggestions how to still maintain space in the college football playoff. Joey Galloway is just saying, hey, just, you know, sit down the starting quarterback against Ohio State and, then he won't get hurt. Then you have a better chance of making a playoff. Okay, it's flawed logic all over the place. Dallas Cowboys stink. What else is new? Losing to the Texans last night. Cavaliers 15-1, no longer defeated. Whoopty freaking do. The Celtics just beat him minutes ago, 120-117. Wild world. And how about this? Got this whole news and article earlier today that, you know, the Sixers, they lose to Miami last night, 106-89. They have a closed door meeting. We found out that Tyrese Maxey, who's hurt with a hamstring issue, basically challenges Joel Embiid to be a leader, actually show up to work on time, says he's late all the time. Listen to Joel Embiid. He was asked after the game, which he only had 11 points in 31 minutes and looked like a bum. Sorry, former MVP last night. He looked like a bum. Joel Embiid was asked what took place in the meeting.
Oh, we out of meeting?
No, he didn't know they had a meeting. Well, thanks to snitches and rats, and we know that they had a meeting. And the fact is, he was challenged. And he reportedly said, you know, he's not always sure what they're doing on offense. Bro, you don't even play. And this is not the first time we've heard Joel Embiid. I mean, this past summer in the Olympics, you know, there was a report that, you know, this man, Joel Embiid, LeBron James, had to look at him and go, man, you're not working hard enough. They owe him money until 2029. He has a player option until 2029, where Joel Embiid will make $70 million. He is 31 years old in March. Do you think this man is going to get better? This is 4 and 5 years from now. Hickey, this is, I'm not going to put this in Deshaun Watson category of disaster, but the Sixers are screwed.
Absolutely. This is really bad. And this wipes away, I think, any benefit of the doubt, right? Like, okay, sometimes injuries happen. You can't do anything. But getting called out for now multiple times on your work ethic, I think any cries of, oh, woe is me, or just bad timing, I think a lot of it goes out the window. He has a lot of talent, but clearly and frustratingly, I think if you're a Sixers fan, he doesn't put the requisite work in that it takes to be a true superstar in the league.
Yeah, I think he is taking his money and packing it up, and I think he's fine. Let's keep in mind, this is someone who came into the NBA, he missed the first 2 years of his career with foot issues. It showed up, played, got paid, never got over the hump, won an MVP, can't get out of the second round. And, yeah, he's a massive talent when he plays, but he's never been able to play consistently. And this is supposed to get better as he gets older? I think the answer is no. And the Sixers are screwed because, A, you can't move this guy. You can't move his contract. You just gave Paul George a massive deal as well. He's 34 years old. You gave him a four-year contract extension. And I don't even know what happens. Maybe you can trade Paul George into the future. How the hell do you even move Maxey? And to where? Like, you've basically cooked Maxey unless he boycotts playing for the team. And I don't ever see that happening. So if you're a Sixers fan, man, you have gone through just the process and it has really sucked all the way through. Anyway, the future doesn't look good for the Sixers. It's time for this day in sports history. Let's take a look at the past.
back in the days when I was young. I'm not a kid anymore, but some days I sit and wish I was a kid again.
It's time for This Day in Sports History.
You see, back in those days,
we had radio and you couldn't see anything, and it was primitive and lousy, and we liked it.
On the JR Sport Brief Show.
I wish I was 50 years younger and I'd kick your ass.
November 19th, 2024, that's today. Let's go back to November 19th, the year 1978. Herman Edwards, this man picked up Larry Zonka's fumble, returned it for a touchdown. The Eagles beat the Giants 19-17. This was referred to as the Miracle at the Meadowlands. We had Herm on last week. Let's take a listen to when he actually played. 1978, this was on CBS.
The clock winds out on the Philadelphia Eagles, a game they thought would project them into a possible wild card position. It would bring them 7-5 had they won, but a late interception by the Giants will preserve a Giant victory. An upset win as the Giants lead 17-12, and we're inside 30 seconds. The Eagles have no timeouts. Wait a minute. Here's a free foot. I don't believe it. The Eagles pick it up, and Herman Edwards runs it in for a touchdown. An incredible development.
Yeah, we all learn. Next time, take a damn knee. How about do that? Giants had the lead 17-12, ended up losing 19-17. Take a knee next time, losers. Some things never change with the Giants, except for the 80s. Anyway, November 19th, 1983, speaking of the 80s, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, he joins Wilt Chamberlain as only the second player in the NBA at the time to score 30,000 points. He did it at the free throw line against the Portland Trailblazers. But the Lakers knocked off Portland. Take a listen to Kareem join the 30,000 point club.
He's got 29,999. Didn't they set this up for a dramatic way to do it?
At the free throw line.
Think he'll make it? I don't.
I do.
Atta boy. There it is. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar has 30,000 points. The second man in basketball history to do it. A standing ovation at Portland, Oregon. Boy, that is great. That is great for the big fella. Jerry West congratulating him. Kareem salutes the crowd by holding the ball high aloft. He's a true sportsman, a fine gentleman, and without question as good as any basketball player that ever lived.
Yeah, well, also, LeBron James, we know he passed him. LeBron James has more than 40,000 points, and there are now seven players with more than 30. Kareem, Wilt, Kobe, Karl Malone, LeBron, Dirk, and some guy named Michael Jordan. Hey, November 19th, 2004, we had the Malice at the Palace. Oh, my goodness. Don't throw a beer on Ron Artest. It didn't end well. Take a listen from ESPN.
Ben Wallace was fouled, and Wallace did. Oh, Wallace right at Artest. This has potential to be serious if they don't get between. Wallace upset. Players trying to hold each other off. Steven Jackson and Rasheed Wallace trying to be peacemakers. Now Jackson yelling. Wallace still going. You need the coaches in there to get him away. Jackson challenging Derek Coleman. Somebody should just get Jackson out of
quickly as possible.
The problem is, if Wallace is ejected, I'm not sure, he'd have to walk past the Pacer bench to go. Now Artest has jumped over the scorer's table and is trying to get down to the bench. Artest is in the stands. Oh, this is awful. Fans are getting involved. Steven Jackson's in the fans. Rasheed Wallace going into the stands. The security trying to somehow restore order. Fans and players are going at it, and the players trying to help each other out.
This is a disgrace.
All the players now, they're jumping in there to try and get the other players out because the fans have come involved. Fans are throwing cups with liquid in them now onto the court. Ron Artest has a look in his eye that's very scary right now.
Yeah, man. Let me tell you something. Ron Artest suspended 86 games. Took him years to bounce back. Sent to the Bulls and the Kings. Ultimately winning the championship with the Lakers. Steven Jackson got 30 games. Even Ben Wallace for, you know, I guess instigating and, you know, shoving, moving Ron Artest around. He got 6 games. And this was the final year of Reggie Miller's career. Okay, he was 39 years old. Reggie Miller had to deal with this, and they basically tanked his opportunity to compete for one last championship. In hindsight, I'm glad things, you know, didn't get worse than what they were. Jermaine O'Neal's punch to that guy will never escape my brain. That guy deserved it. The guy who threw the beer, unfortunately, Ron went after the wrong guy. But that one guy deserved to get his ass whooped. Don't throw things at people. It's bad. It's real bad. Listen, been a hell of a show. Hickey, you holding it down the next few days, right?
Tomorrow and Thursday. Yes, sir. Big shoes to fill.
Hardly. Where can people follow you and all that good stuff?
Ryan _ Hickey and the number 3 on Twitter.
That's good. Well, have fun, man. What are you going to do tomorrow? I don't know, right? You know? I don't know.
Well, we're doing the top 6.
Lovely. Amazing. Good stuff.
Maybe top 6 dysfunctional franchises right now, based on what we saw in the last few days.
Oh, my goodness.
In all sports.
I have an inkling the Jets will be on the list, possibly.
Jets, maybe the Cowboys, maybe the Sixers. There's a lot of options out there, JR.
You got a lot of options. Hey, thank you to Trey Wallace for joining us from Outkick to talk some college. I'll be back on Monday. Okay, enjoy the rest of the week with my main man Hickey holding it down the next few days. Make sure you tune in. You can find me online at JR Sport Brief. Thank you for tuning in, and thank you to super producer and host Ryan Hickey. He'll be holding it down. JR Sport Brief done. Bart Winkler coming up next.